from KQED.
It's Morning Edition on KQED. I'm Brian Watt. In the wake of the violence and tragedy in Charlottesville, the Bay Area is bracing for some upcoming rallies organized by white nationalists. Charlottesville is not the only place these rallies have turned violent, despite a strong presence by the police. In Berkeley, in April, a riot broke out. KQED's John Sepulvedo and Bert Johnson were at that Berkeley rally. They've been doing a lot of reporting on the white supremacist movement. John and Bert join us now to talk about what role the police are playing in these events. Hi, John.
Hey.
Hey, Bert.
Hello.
So your current piece talks about how the police have basically coordinated with the militia groups that show up to these rallies. What are some examples of this?
Well, when we say coordinated, that's in some instances, and mainly what happens is these groups will come and they'll ask for a permit. That's not the case in Berkeley. There didn't need to be a permit gotten. But in general, these groups will show up. They'll ask for a permit, at which point the police will work with them as they would with many other marchers or parade-type situations. What's different about this is the groups involved. And as Bert has detailed, these groups believe some really vile, ugly things.
Yeah, that's right. A lot of these groups are using these sort of contentious rallies as an opportunity to meet new recruits, and they're using them as part of a PR campaign. And they're often, you know, maybe not necessarily directly coordinating with militia groups, but they often show up at the same events.
It sounds like the militia groups have the sort of air of providing security for the people who are going to speak at these rallies.
That's exactly right. That's how they explicitly position themselves. And often these militia groups include former military and law enforcement officials as well.
There's a lot of blur between where it, to the people in the crowd, where the militia ends and law enforcement begins.
What were the conversations between Berkeley police and these groups going on the rally, Bert?
Well, according to sources that both John and I have been in contact with in the Oath Keepers and also in another group called the California State Militia, they had been in direct face-to-face contact with Berkeley police leading up to the event and even in some cases during the events themselves.
Yes.
And this was on a couple of different occasions. As you remember, there were three so-called free speech rallies in that series that happened in the spring.
Specifically on the April 15th rally that was held in Berkeley, I heard from a source in the Oath Keepers that there was actually quite a bit of coordination. At one point, it looked like the riot was going to go, when I say riot, there was essentially a straight-out street brawl, was going to go one way, and police spoke to an Oath Keeper, and these Oath Keepers actually kind of helped direct it another way to go down a different street. That raises significant questions. Now, I do want to say that both the mayor of Berkeley has defended the police department working with these groups, and that the police department did not confirm what they spoke about. They just confirmed that they did speak to them. So it is quite possible, as is often the case with extreme groups, that we're not being told the full truth by these militia members.
I'm curious if observers on the left are drawing a contrast between this kind of coordination with armed white nationalist supporters and what unarmed black and brown protesters see when they show up to protest something.
Yeah, absolutely. That's been a major critique, actually, of these right-wing protests that we've been seeing. You know, leftist protesters are saying that the police presence is much more heavy-handed during their own events. You know, specifically, people are pointing to the way that law enforcement interacted with Black Lives Matter protests in Berkeley and Oakland in 2014. And I was on the ground reporting on some of those events, and I can say that I certainly witnessed a much more aggressive police presence during those events, too.
This is just me, you know, saying what has the city's told me, is that they actually learned from those events of what to do. That does not fly with leftist protesters who don't believe that's the case at all. They think there's a double standard. Leftist protesters treat the police very, very differently than militia protesters and hard right protesters do. Hard right protesters are trying to work with the police. Leftist protesters often are berating the police. And that does raise the question, just as human beings, you know, you have one group who says they are trying to work with you. You have another group who are saying that you're tools of capitalism. It raises the question of whether policing methods are different. Not necessarily because there's like some kind of grand conspiracy, but just because people are people, and how they respond to people are going to be directly related to how they're treated by those people.
What is your sense of what these groups want now? What does that white nationalist homeland look like?
So that's a really difficult question to have answered by many of them. For instance, Nathan D'Amigo intentionally shies away from describing his futurist ethno-state project. And he specifically says that's because if he describes in detail what he wants to see, it will make people... it will scare people off. Essentially, they'll take issue with specific elements of what he envisions, and then he'll lose their support in the near term. And at the same time, Richard Spencer, actually, who we interviewed, is a little more forthcoming, and he's told us that he wants to see something like a reconstituted Roman Empire with a confederation of whites-only states.
And you know, Nathan D'Amigo is the founder of Identity Europa, which is based in California, from San Jose. The point is, Brian, they want us talking about him, and we're caught in this vicious cycle because we have to report on the fact that this is happening. We have to face the fact that they're feeling emboldened. But at the same time, for right now, all they want is for us to talk about them, because for each 10 people who hear this, there is one person who is interested and who is keen, and who's going to go to their websites and look at them and consider joining them. And that's what they want.
KQED's John Sepulvedo and contributor Bert Johnson, thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Brian.